I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We want to wrap up this summer for the Cleveland Browns with all of its promise and excitement and, of course, the number one overall pick. So we welcome Daryl Ryder from our affiliate 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, thanks so much for joining us. What is the biggest sports story in Cleveland right now? Is it the Browns and their retooled roster with John Dorsey, or is it the Cavs and their offseason drama?
I think it's neck and neck at this point. Everyone's on pins and needles wanting to know what LeBron's going to decide, whether it's in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, at the very latest. And there is some palpable excitement that the Browns might actually win a game or two this year.
All right, so let's talk about Cleveland and OTAs, and now the football has gone into kind of its summer hiatus. There is some optimism there, as you say, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Browns selected this high-profile quarterback finally with that overall number one pick. How did Baker Mayfield look in the couple OTAs in which the Browns have held so far?
Well, he does not look like the best quarterback on the field, and I don't know necessarily if that's fair or unfair to judge at this point, considering the Browns have already committed to Tyrod Taylor as their starting quarterback. I guess it's a good sign that he worked his way up to, at least as we have this conversation now, it appears that he is the number two quarterback on the depth chart after starting everything off as the number three. So he has made some progress, but it is clear, and when you talk to people within the Browns organization, both on and off the record, I mean, in fact, offensive coordinator Todd Haley wrapped up their minicamp by just coming out and saying that there is a gap between Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield is not on the plus side of that at this point. So it's going to be Tyrod Taylor's show, and then, it'll be up to Baker to pretty much catch up. And I don't really know how much of a quarterback competition there really is going to be come training camp, because the organization has been steadfast in downplaying any type of competition between these two guys.
So then where is the gap? Where's the gap between Tyrod Taylor as a starter and Baker now?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's both physical as well as intellectual. As I said, just my observations, watching OTAs, watching the mini camp, Tyrod Taylor looks like he's the better player between them, and it's not really close. Now, to be fair to Baker, Baker's not getting first-team snaps. He's not getting the throw to Josh Gordon and Jarvis Landry, whereas Tyrod is. And those two players make quarterbacks look very, very good. But also at the same time, I think Baker is dealing with the problem that a lot of college quarterbacks deal with these days, and that is a very complex offense that is drastically different from what they dealt with in college. Todd Haley has a very deep and vast playbook. Baker got a little bit of sampling during the rookie minicamp, but he basically has the full spread in front of him now that he's having to learn and implement and all those type of things. He talked about during the minicamp about how the game is starting to slow down for him a little bit, but it is clear when I watch him out there that he's not ready to start week one.
Daryl Ryder is with our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan, talking a little bit of Browns and some Cavaliers, too, I suppose. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. I'm not just quite ready to dive right back into the NBA, but that free agency period will be here before you know it. Daryl, you mentioned Todd Haley, and I got to tell you, I was excited for the Browns when they hired him as their offensive coordinator. I like his moxie. He's aggressive. I felt like he could inject some new life into that offense and also raise the level of expectation. What have you seen change so far?
Well, it helps that he had, you know, it all comes down to players. I thought Hugh Jackson did a good job in his first couple of years assembling a very strong coaching staff and also making upgrades where needed. You know, he fired Ray Horton after the first season and brought in Greg Williams, which I felt was a good hire. And then obviously this offseason, get lucky that the Steelers didn't want Todd Haley anymore, and so Haley becomes available to the Browns to hire, and I think that that's a coup. Probably the most significant addition to this team, and I say that realizing they brought in about 25 players this offseason, but the fact that he brought in an offensive coordinator who's experienced, who knows how to use weapons to help Hugh Jackson, Ken Zampezi, the former Bengals coordinator, the quarterback's coach up here now as well. And then when you look at the weapons that Haley is going to play with, he's got three running backs and two stud wide receivers and a very serviceable quarterback. Those are all immense upgrades for the Cleveland Browns, and that is why, again, there should be some level of optimism coming off an 0-16 season that the days of 0-16 and 1-15 are very much in the rearview mirror now.
Where will the Browns miss Joe Thomas the most?
I think that they'll be fine as far as in the locker room and behind the scenes. And quite frankly, they haven't missed him much because he's been around. He's been on the practice field working with these guys. He, God love him, he can't quit the Cleveland Browns. And that is what makes Joe Thomas great. I mean, last year, I kid you not, there's a blizzard outside. He's on injured reserve. His season is over. His arm is in a sling. Mm. And he's out on the practice field working with the offensive line in December in a blizzard. Can't make this stuff up. So they will miss Joe Thomas on the field. There's no question about it. It's really tough to handicap that left tackle spot right now because you really don't get a good look and feel for that position or any of the offensive linemen, and then to a degree your defensive linemen as well, until they put on the pads in training camp and they start banging bodies against each other in that. But Sean Coleman, who was their right tackle last year, I think he led the league in false starts. They replaced him with Chris Hubbard, who they picked up as a free agent from Pittsburgh. Coleman now moves to the left side, and the week that Joe Thomas retired, he was in the field house working with Sean Coleman, trying to get him, I guess, up to speed, if you will. They got this rookie, Austin Corbett, who they used the 33rd pick in the draft on, but they don't know where he's going to play. That makes that a very interesting pick. You spend your first pick in the second round on a guy that you don't know where you're going to play him. He's either going to be a tackle or a guard, but it's going to be between Coleman and Corbett, but you're not going to replace Joe Thomas. So they might have put a Band-Aid on the quarterback hemorrhaging that they've had for the last 20 years, but my fear is that left tackle is going to be the new quarterback carousel for the Cleveland Browns now that Joe Thomas is retired. Ironically, the one position they didn't have to worry about for 11 years while the rest of the team was a mess, now they seem to have the team kind of sort of patched back together, and now left tackle they have to worry about.
Daryl Ryder is with our affiliate in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan. Lots of great sports fans by the shores of Lake Erie. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Quick on the defensive side of the ball, obviously some high draft picks in the last couple of years. And I know some people were surprised by the Browns not taking Bradley Chubb in this year's draft, but they really like Denzel Ward plus Myles Garrett from a year ago. What does the defense look like with those two guys as kind of young, energetic, athletic additions?
And they got two other young, energetic, athletic guys in up front, Larry Ogunjobi and Emmanuel Agba. Both have the potential, like Myles Garrett, to become household names. Denzel Ward, I think the sky's the limit for him. He reminds me of a young Joe Hayden. I think he's got Pro Bowl potential. Don't want to put too much pressure on the local kid in Buckeye, but it's what I see in him. He's the only guy I ever saw take a football away from Josh Gordon in a game or practice, and he did that a couple of weeks ago, and he looks really good up against both Gordon and Jarvis Landry. They've had some fun battles in these OTAs as well as the minicamp, but it is a whole new secondary for the Browns, completely rebuilt from the ground up. They brought Demarius Randle. You got E.J. Gaines. They got in Travis Carey. Michael Kendricks, they just signed 2 weeks ago, the free agent linebacker from Philadelphia. So basically on both sides of the ball, there really isn't a position besides left tackle where the Cleveland Browns have not gotten better this offseason. And that's, again, why cautiously optimistic at least one, if not two victories, all but guaranteed in 2018 here.
No place to go but up. You can find Daryl on Twitter at RyderWrong, F-A-N, and Ryder is R-U-I-T-E-R, covers the Browns and the Cavs for our affiliate in Cleveland. Good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
There's a lot of potential there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.